Hello and welcome to Mysteries of Science. My name's Dan and I'm the editor of Science and Nature, the monthly magazine from the team behind The Week Junior.
And I'm Michael, the junior editor. On this podcast, we take a look at our favourite mysteries of science. These are the strange phenomena and bizarre events that have left scientists scratching their heads and, despite their best efforts, remain well and truly unsolved.
Today, I'm going to start with a question for you, Michael. Are you feeling lucky?
Do you know what, Dan? I think I am.
Right then, why don't we put that to the test? Right, let me grab a coin. Here we go. I've got a coin. I'm going to flip the coin, okay? And if it comes up heads, then, I don't know, what should we play for?
How about chocolate bar?
Chocolate bar. Good guess. I was thinking just the same thing. If it comes up heads, then I owe you a chocolate bar. And if it comes up tails, then you owe me a chocolate bar. Okay, playing for the big money here.
Okay, get ready to owe me a Dairy Milk, Dan.
Are you feeling lucky? Here we go. It's tails.
Oh no! I guess it was your lucky day after all, not mine.
It's always going to come up tails. Let's be honest. Always tails.
But you know, Dan, I wonder: is anyone really lucky or unlucky? I mean, does luck actually exist? And if so, is it possible to actually make your own luck?
Well, I think we need to speak to some lucky experts to find out.
By lucky experts, do you mean experts on luck or that the experts themselves are lucky?
Well, perhaps both. We've got two top professors and even the famous illusionist, Derren Brown.
Wow, Derren Brown, love him. Can't wait to see what he has to say. Let's get started and maybe make sure not to break any mirrors on the way. We wouldn't want any bad luck now. This is Mysteries of Science. So Dan, you asked me if I was feeling lucky, but how about you? Are you superstitious? Do you maybe have a lucky pair of shoes or a lucky shirt that you like to wear?
Lucky pants. My purple striped and spotty flowery pants are, you know, they go with me. I wear them on any occasion that I need a bit of luck.
Those do sound very lucky.
Oh, yes. What about you, Michael?
Well, do you know what? I actually have a lucky number, and perhaps surprisingly, this may shock you, but my lucky number is actually 13.
Not 13? That is, yes, that's surely a famously unlucky number, Michael.
Well, not for everyone. I actually used to live in a house number 13, and it wasn't an unlucky house. It wasn't haunted or anything like that. In fact, we had a very, very lovely time there.
Ah, well, maybe this is why it explains why you lose the coin toss. I don't know. But you'll find this interesting. In some countries, I found out that the number 13 is considered to be so unlucky that people have a phobia of it. And I'm going to tell you what that phobia is. Let me see if I can get this right. It's called triskaidekaphobia. That's right. Thank you for putting that in the script, Michael. Triskaidekaphobia.
Yeah, unlucky there, Dan. But, you know, in some other countries, I read that 13 is actually considered lucky. And, you know, for some people, such as myself, there's nothing to fear from that number at all.
So what's considered lucky might be different depending on where you live and who you are. But what is luck exactly? We're talking about numbers and objects here as being unlucky, but I think we need to find out, does luck actually exist? Is it real or is it something we've just made up?
Well, I think I know someone who can help us.
I'm Neil Levy. I'm a philosopher. I work at the University of Oxford and also Macquarie University in Sydney, in Australia. Being a philosopher's may be very different to what you think it is. At least philosophers do lots of things. I work with psychologists, and I work on all kinds of topics, from ethics through to philosophy of science and psychology, lots of different things. So being a philosopher is maybe more interesting than you think it is.
So as Neil just said, he is a philosopher, which is someone who studies how we think. And he's also written a book all about luck called Hard Luck.
So Neil, tell us just exactly what is luck.
I think of luck as chanciness. So things happen in the universe. Some of those things could easily have gone otherwise. So when you take a shot on the pool table, if you're really, really good, then luck doesn't have a huge amount to do with what happens, because you can't easily have missed a simple shot. But if it's me and I'm taking a shot on the pool table and I sink the black, that's probably luck, because things could easily have gone otherwise. I could easily have missed because I'm not very skilled. If a coin comes down heads, that's luck, because it could easily have happened otherwise. It's not enough for luck. That's the chanciness bit of luck. In addition, it's got to be the case that it matters.
So according to Neil, luck is when something happens that could have easily gone another way and it matters. It has a positive effect. You had a kind of vested interest in it.
Yeah, I thought what he said about playing pool was really interesting, especially because it chimes in with my experience of playing pool, that if you're good at something, then the less luck actually has to do with it.
Yeah, it reminded me, there's a famous quote from a golfer who said, "The more I practice, the luckier I get." Though, according to Neil's definition of luck, perhaps the quote should be, "The more I practice, the less lucky I get."
Exactly. So I don't think it's true that the more you practice, the luckier you get. The more you practice, the less luck has to do with it. Now, of course, it still matters. If you're a really great tennis player, you're Djokovic, for example, and you make this really great shot, it could be that was lucky for him, because even for him, even for one of the most skillful tennis players in the world, it was still a really difficult shot, and maybe he couldn't have pulled it off. But, you know, it's not at all lucky when he manages to serve first serve down the baseline at the center court, because he can do that reliably every time, almost every time. So luck has very little to do with it. And we do say things like that. So if somebody says to you when you sink a basket, "Oh, lucky shot," you might say, "Luck had nothing to do with it."
So there you go, Michael, out of the mouth of a top professor. The next time you're playing football and score a goal, you can just turn around and say, "Luck had nothing to do with it."
No, Dan, if I've scored a goal, then believe me, luck had everything to do with it.
So we've got one definition of what luck is, and we've established how you can actually work to reduce how much is left to chance, to luck, by becoming more skilled at something. So that's sort of one way of making your own luck, isn't it? But this idea of luck, where does it come from, and why do we believe in it?
I think it's time we brought in our next expert.
Yeah, hi, my name is Jacqueline Woolley. I'm a professor of developmental psychology at the University of Texas at Austin, and I study children's ability to differentiate fantasy from reality. And more generally, I study what people believe and why they believe what they believe.
So here's how Jacqueline defines luck.
Luck is really, I guess, in the eye of the beholder, but traditionally luck is thought of as a magical force that causes good things to happen, sometimes bad things to happen.
Yeah, that's definitely how I would have pictured luck in my mind, the kind of a magical force. But is that not true, or is it?
Well, Jacqueline actually studied how young people thought about luck as they grew older, and in doing so, she discovered something about what forces might actually be at work when we talk about luck.
I studied kids between the ages of 4 and 10, so a pretty wide age range. And as with a lot of these kind of, shall we say, magical beliefs, kids don't come up with them spontaneously, right? They hear about them from their culture. That's the case for a lot of mythical and fantastical beings, and I think it's the same for luck. So 4-year-olds in my study were just sort of starting to hear about luck. And I think at least in the U.S., a lot of parents sort of say things to kids like, "Make a wish and you'll have good luck," or "Throw a penny in the fountain and it'll bring you luck," or "He's a lucky girl," that sort of thing. So I think kids are starting to hear that kind of language when they're pretty young, 2 or 3. But when they're 4, they're just sort of starting to form a concept of luck, not quite sure what it is. By the time they're 6, though, they have a pretty clear concept of luck, and they tend to believe in it pretty strongly for the most part.
So at six, we have a really strong belief in luck. And what happens after that? What happens when we get older?
By eight, kids are sort of starting to doubt whether it really kind of works, so to speak. So it may be that they've tried, you know, to get good luck, or, you know, they've sort of started noticing things or talking to people. And then by 10, a lot of the kids that we tested on all were very skeptical. They really just didn't believe in it at all.
Ah, so as people grow older, they become more skeptical about the idea of luck. And why would that be?
I have a new theory about this, which I'm working on now, which is that as kids get a little bit older, you know, 8, 10, whatever, they're starting to reflect on their own thoughts more. And they're starting to become aware, I think, of the psychological processes that underlie apparent lucky outcomes. So basically, like, if you wear your lucky bracelet every time you have a swim meet, and you do really well, and then you forget it one day, you're really stressed out, right? You're really tense and you lose your confidence. And maybe you don't swim very well that day. And so, you know, you could attribute that to not having your lucky bracelet. You know, you could attribute it to a magical process, or you could, if you're sort of self-aware, you could attribute to the fact that you were stressed out and you weren't confident and that sort of thing. So my latest theory is that maybe as kids get to be about that age, 8, 10, 12, they're starting to be aware of the psychological processes that underlie what seemed in the past to be kind of magical outcomes.
That's fascinating. So instead of a magical force, it's more of a mental one. So this may mean I might be able to leave my purple underpants at home sometimes. And by thinking in a certain way, perhaps we can make ourselves luckier.
Exactly. And our next guest actually demonstrated this in a quite incredible way. Drumroll, please, everyone. Fresh from our TV screens, it is...
Hello, I'm Darren Brown, and I started off as a hypnotist and a magician, and I've ended up just being very interested in how the mind works and how we can be influenced, the kind of weird mental traps that we fall into, and how we can kind of, use our minds to live in the best way that we can.
Now, Darren did a big experiment on the telly all about luck. So just as with Neil and Jacqueline, we asked him to tell us what he thinks luck is.
Right, oh gosh, well there's a long answer to that and a short answer, but I think it's probably a story that we tell ourselves. I think that's what it probably comes down to. So it's a way of, I don't know, I guess sort of living out a kind of a narrative, like a story of what you think your relationship is to the world. And that's one of luckiness or unluckiness. And I think that's where it exists, in a story that we tell, rather than any kind of force in the universe.
We're looking at luck, and we have been in this whole episode really, as a story in our minds rather than a force in the universe. But that doesn't mean it's powerless. Now, Darren, Michael mentioned that you did a big experiment on luck for the TV. What was that?
Yeah, so we... this was for a TV show called The Secret of Luck that I did years ago for Channel 4. And it started out with... I got a journalist to go into the town with a camera crew and to ask people the same question, which was, have you heard about the lucky dog? Now, there was this dog statue that was in the park, and we chose it because no one really knew, like, who'd made it or why it was there. It was just something that people had got used to. You know, it wasn't even that old, but it was just a funny dog statue. So we decided that by asking the question, have you heard about the lucky dog, people might start to think that it was lucky. And we set up... And she was telling people, she was making up stories about how people had stroked the dog and then ended up winning the lottery and things like that. And it sort of spread, this idea that this dog was lucky. And we had cameras that were set up. And sure enough, after a while, people were turning up and touching this dog, thinking it would bring them luck. And then we started following a group of people that lived and worked in this little town, and followed their stories as they lived out the idea that they were more lucky because they touched the dog? And like, what would happen to them? Would it actually make them any more lucky? Would they be more successful? You know, we had them do things like, you know, play lotteries and enter competitions. We took some of them to Blackpool where they'd play lots of funfair games and things like that. So we could actually try and measure whether or not believing that something was going to make you more lucky would actually make you more lucky. And it did. And it was a really interesting and fun experience. And it's made me quite interested in the whole world of luck and what that means and how you can kind of harness it, I think, for your own life.
That's amazing. People think that they're lucky, that then they actually do in fact become lucky. Wow, I wonder why that would be. How can something that we, you know, in our minds that we think about actually come out and manifest itself in the real world?
Well, both Jacqueline and Darren actually mentioned the work of a man called Richard Wiseman, who showed how people who think of themselves as lucky are more open to opportunities and aware of the world around them, which means they might then notice things that other people, kind of unlucky people, don't notice.
Well, one of the things that Richard did as one of his experiments was he asked people to look through a newspaper and count the amount of adverts that were in the paper, or the amount of articles or something like that, just something that would sort of, you know, take up their mind as they were looking through it. But on one page in this paper, it said, show this page to the experimenter and he'll give you £100. And again, it was that weird thing that all the people that thought they were unlucky didn't notice it. They didn't notice the page, or they didn't get given £100. All the people that thought they were lucky did. And they went, oh, I've just found this. And they got given £100. So again, what's happening there is not this sort of, you know, mysterious force in the universe that's benefiting some people and not others. It's the fact that those people that think of themselves as lucky are just generally noticing stuff more. They're just paying more attention. They're not getting stuck in the rut, which here would be the rut of just counting ads, right? Or articles or whatever the task was they had to do. So that's the thing. The thing is to, how can I pay more attention to what's around me? How can I look out for stuff more? How can I not get stuck in a rut? How can I not be one of those people that's just counting the adverts in the paper and missing these glaring great opportunities that are just presenting themselves to me right in my face, and I'm just missing them? I mean, I thought it was a really good experiment that shows us how much we miss. So that's the thing, that's the key, is to look more, pay attention more, and realize that you're looking for opportunities, looking to say yes to more things and to keep your eyes and ears open. That's the game that we should all be playing.
There aren't any hidden messages in this podcast, are there, Michael, that I'm missing?
Not that I know of, Dan, although with Darren Brown, you can never know for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, let's tell our listeners how they can check out a little bit more of Darren's work.
Well, he's currently on tour around the UK with his new live show, Showman, and some of his older TV specials, such as The Secret of Luck, which he was talking about, can be found on his YouTube channel.
Great, thanks, Michael. Well, it's time for a quick recap, I think. We've heard about different definitions of what luck is. We've talked about how our belief in luck changes as we grow up, and how people can actually make their own luck. So let's bring this back to the big question we had right at the start of the show. Does luck exist?
Well, I don't think luck is a substance or a power. It's not something in the universe. It's not something that exists independently of us, like light or gravity. It's something we ascribe when certain conditions are satisfied. So it's not something that exists independently of us and our goals, but still I think it's something that it's a very useful concept to have.
Yeah, so I would say that, you know, exactly, that there's not a magical force. I don't believe there's a magical force that makes these good things happen, but I think we can say that there is luck in the world, in the sense that luck means, you know, sort of setting yourself up for these good outcomes.
So there you have it. Luck might not exist in the way that, say, the weather does, where we can kind of look at it and measure it, but the idea of luck very much does exist. And so by having a positive attitude or working hard to learn a skill or being open to opportunities around you, you can in fact make your own luck.
How about you? Do you think you're a lucky person? What's the luckiest thing or unluckiest thing that's ever happened to you? We'd love to hear from you. Come on, send us a voicemail message. To do that, you can head over to funkidslive.com/mysteries. And all you need to do is tap on that big red button and your message could feature in our next episode, if you're lucky.
Last time out, we asked you where you'd go if you had a time machine. And here's one voice message we got from Willow.
Hi, Mysteries of Science. My name is Willow and I love your podcast. In answer to your question, I would love to go to both the future and the past if we could time travel. I would go to the past because I would want to see me and see my ancestors. And I would also want to make sure that people are recognised when they did their amazing things. And I would want to go to the future because I would want to see what technology we have, what transportation, what houses look like, what people we have ruling, maybe if we didn't even live on Earth anymore, how the environment is being handled, everything like that 50,000 years from now.
Great answer, Willow. And don't forget to join us in 2 weeks' time for our next mystery.
Yes, we'll be exploring the world of AI, artificial intelligence. These are super smart robots. And we'll be asking the question, is your computer smarter than you? Until then, stay curious.
Thanks for listening to The Week Junior Show, which is made by the same people that make The Week Junior magazine. You can get a free trial of The Week Junior by heading to theweekjunior.co.uk/podcast and using the code podcast at checkout.